I'm Chris Reback.
And I'm Tegan Goddard.
You're listening to the free version of Trial Balloon.
Visit trialballoon.fm to get new episodes every week and more.
How come you don't tell me the truth?
Chris, I would only tell you the truth.
Well, I've got evidence. It was about a year ago when you moved into an apartment, and I really think you said something along the lines of, I never want to do this again. Maybe you went so far as to say, I never will do this again, but obviously you had to because you had to get out of the place, but you really didn't want to ever do it again. And what are you doing now?
Chris, we are moving. We are moving back into our house after 13 months of construction.
How do you feel about that?
Anyway. Well, you can actually see me on the video. What do you think I look like?
Oh, come on. I don't hit softballs like that anymore.
Well, I'll say this. I do. And that's why we're recording, because we're not going to miss an episode for our listeners.
No, we're not. And there's no doubt that given headaches that you're going through, you are definitely made for audio today and not video. So why don't we get on with it? If you want to send questions for the mailbag, you can contact Tegan, sending him your sympathy and good wishes. Via Political Wire, you can email me by replying to any day's newsletter. Now let's get on with business. Really interesting article this week that both told us everything we already knew and yet, in my opinion, also raises a whole new set of questions. From the New York Times, Republicans who do not regularly watch Fox are less likely to back Trump. Republicans who get their news from neoconservative mainstream media outlets are less likely to support Donald Trump than those who follow conservative outlets. And sizable numbers from the first group, the ones who get news from neoconservative mainstream media outlets, say they think Mr. Trump acted criminally, according to a recent New York Times Siena College poll. This division could affect his standing among Republicans in the general electorate, a decidedly different group from GOP primary voters. That is in line with research that shows that changing the media habits of Fox News consumers may actually change their views. 100% of the Republicans in our poll who said they got their news from Fox News or other conservative sources said they intended to support Mr. Trump in the general election. This stands in contrast to Republicans whose main media sources are outlets like CNN and major news organizations. 79% of them plan to vote for Mr. Trump, and 13% said they plan to vote for President Biden. And across many measures, mainstream media Republicans are less supportive of Trump. They're 20 percentage points less likely than conservative media Republicans to say they are enthusiastic about Trump as the party's nominee, and more than 30 percentage points less likely to say that Trump's policies have helped them personally. Despite the perception that most Republicans watch Fox News, the share of Republicans who said they get their news from sources like CNN and major newspapers was similar to the share who said they primarily consumed conservative media, roughly 30% in each case. These Republicans differ from consumers of conservative media primarily in terms of their ideology. They were much more likely to describe themselves as politically moderate. Nikki Haley had about 30% support among these Republicans and 4% among conservative media consumers. The poll was taken before Haley dropped out of the race. So my questions. A focus on the impact of Fox News on the Republican mind, of course, is nothing new. But even with that knowledge, I found myself reading this piece and thinking, maybe the people voicing concern, the ones shouting from the rooftops, have in fact been understating the case. My question, is the Fox News problem bigger than we thought?
It's huge, Chris. One of my favorite posts that I've ever put on Political Wire was about three different academic studies, which all showed basically the same thing, which was those Americans who got their news from Fox News actually knew less about current events than people who watch no news at all. So watching Fox News distorted their reality so much that people who just picked up news from other sources but never watched television news managed to know a lot more than people who watch Fox. And, you know, I find it so interesting that we have a bipartisan consensus right now in banning TikTok, or at least constraining TikTok or forcing them to sell, which could lead to a ban, because it's a propaganda pipeline into the United States from China. But we have a propaganda pipeline here every single day that drives our politics, and it's Fox News. It is absolutely a problem with our politics. I think that this study shows it again, once again. And I think that that's what we've been dealing with when we have this flood of people believing conspiracy theories and just believing things that aren't true, like that Donald Trump won the election in 2020.
I want to ask you about that term propaganda, because as you're noting, allowing a propaganda channel owned and operated, maybe just owned actually, by a foreign government, that could be illegal in the United States, I think, depending on which foreign government. Maybe it's the four countries that have been identified that are not allowed to own such channels. Maybe other foreign countries are not either, but certainly there are the four that are not. I think it's Russia, China, Iran, and maybe North Korea. I'll get fact-checked after the podcast if I don't have those four countries right. But I think that those are the four that...
if you don't, that means you've been watching Kim Jong-un TV too much, Chris.
I've been watching a propaganda channel. One of the questions is about, is it definitionally propaganda? And if so, is propaganda necessarily illegal? And if it's not, which I actually think it's likely not, it's not owned by one of those other countries, i.e. if it's owned by U.S. entities, what is there to do? And here's why I'm asking this, because the New York Times piece continued on a study that I was not aware of, but I found fascinating as well. Researchers have long pondered a kind of chicken and egg question with conservatism and conservative media, the piece states. Does watching more conservative media change your views, or are you more attracted to it because of your views? Two political scientists, David Brookman at Berkeley and Joshua Kalla at Yale, conducted an experiment trying to answer that question. Quote, "We know from our other research that many Fox News viewers are in an echo chamber and are quite conservative," Mr. Brookman said. "There's a lot of skepticism that strong partisans could not be persuaded, and we wanted to challenge that assumption," end quote. In their experiment, they randomly assigned Fox News viewers to watch CNN for a month, comparing their political views after they switched to the network with Fox viewers who did not make the switch. The result? Getting conservative news viewers to watch mainstream news caused many of the participants to shift away from hard right views on a number of issues like immigration and race relations. And they found changes in how participants evaluated Trump. Quote, "It was amazing to see that the study participants learned new facts about the world from watching CNN," Mr. Kalla said. That's a bit taken like what you were just saying a moment ago. Quote continues, "These are people who don't trust CNN. They think it's propaganda and fiction. The fact that they find that these people in particular learn something new about the world suggests that they're more open to persuasion and hearing the other side than we might assume," end quote. Participants did not just move toward moderate views on issues like immigration. They also started to question their trust in Fox News itself. At the end of the study, respondents were less likely to agree with the statement, quote, "If Donald Trump did something bad, Fox News would discuss it." My questions. What should be the Democrats' playbook? This Berkeley-Yale study shows that the key to getting Fox News viewers to try something else, to me, this is a political question. It's in the Democratic Party's interest to move viewers away from Fox, but it's also a media question. Obviously, other networks should be trying to persuade people to watch their content as well. So what should the Democratic Party do? What should media competitors do?
Obviously, a lot of Democrats have spent the last year or two wondering why the Biden administration isn't any better at messaging, at getting out the word on what the administration has accomplished. It's clear that many Americans don't understand, don't know, and not all of them watch Fox News. But if you go back and look at the roots of Fox News did not launch until 1996, but the roots of Fox News may have gone back to 1970 when there was a memo. This was found buried deep in the Richard Nixon presidential archives. It was a 1970 memo titled "A Plan for Putting the GOP on TV News." It's not clear who the author is, but many suspect that it was, in fact, Roger Ailes, who 26 years later decided to launch Fox News. And the reason is that there was a key paragraph in that memo. "Today, television news is watched more than people read newspapers, than people listen to the radio, than people read or gather any other form of communication. The reason? People are lazy. With television, you just sit, watch, listen. The thinking is done for you." I think that the people who started Fox News paid attention to that memo. That memo might have been written by Roger Ailes himself, but it's clear that they took those lessons of what television had done to political communication in this country. You just have to remember that when that memo was written, it was only 10 years earlier that there was the first televised presidential debate with John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon in the 1960 presidential campaign. So this was the early days of television, but it was very clear what the power of the medium is. And when you listen to Donald Trump, when you watch Donald Trump, and when you read about how he has developed this character that he plays on television all these years, one of the most fascinating anecdotes that I've heard is that he might be on Meet the Press. When Trump has been on shows like Meet the Press or these big Sunday shows, he asks after the interview's over to simply watch a video of himself without the audio, because he knows that the audio itself doesn't even matter at times. It's the image that matters most that's on TV. And Trump has been playing with this for 40 years. And so the idea that these studies have shown that viewers are so swayed towards the Republican message by watching conservative media, conservative news channels, it's not surprising at all. I mean, the lesson is right there in a memo from 1970, and it's been followed by Fox News for 30 years. So it's not a surprise to me. But the question that you ask, what should the Democrats do? That's a perplexing one, because I think that so many Democratic voters are not interested in just being told what to think. Some are. MSNBC, to a large extent, plays that role in terms of giving the more progressive side of the news that viewpoint. But networks like CNN, who attempt to try to somehow be in the middle or show both sides, they get all jumbled up trying to do it. It just doesn't work. I'm not sure what the Democrats can do short of trying to start their own news network. I don't know if it would work, because I don't know if their viewers are interested in that kind of programming. It's very clear that there's a problem now. And if you go back to the Trump administration, I think you can argue that Trump himself was saved because Fox News existed. He got himself involved in two impeachments and all sorts of other scandals and other troubles. But because there was this counter-programming to the reality message that was being portrayed by the news, he was able to survive. I think that's another lesson back from the Nixon administration. Roger Ailes looked at that. He saw a president forced from office because he did not have this outlet to push out the message so effectively. And I think that's one of the reasons why Trump was saved during his presidency. And to this point, Fox News, while they did show a little bit of distance shortly after January 6th, they're right back in the Trump fold once again.
So interesting for me to hear you suggest potentially or possible idea, Democratic Party might need to start its own news network to counterbalance Fox News, or suggesting that other channels like MSNBC potentially act as counterbalance, which for purposes of this conversation, let's call those somewhat defensive measures. I'm wondering, should the Democratic Party turn offensive and stop treating Fox News like a news network, and instead go on a political attack? This would be controversial because they are a media channel, and it does obviously now run the massive risk of appearing that you are against the First Amendment, that you are against free speech, that you are against the ability to report. However, maybe pointing out, publicizing, highlighting, with whatever tactics they want, whether that's humor or mockery, but simply heightening the awareness. We've all read how the Biden campaign, I don't know if this is going to come out of the Biden campaign or the DNC or which exact part, but they're going to go after the third party this year. They're going to attack RFK Jr. And if No Labels comes out with the candidate, and Liz Smith, I guess, is running the effort. They're going to have an effort directly to go after third parties. They're not willing to lose that portion of the vote, or they're going to try not to lose that portion of the vote. Should they be doing something similar around Fox News? And this is why I was asking about propaganda. If it is a propaganda channel, if it is not news, should it be treated as a news channel, or should it be treated as political propaganda? That's not illegal in our country. You can have political propaganda, but it doesn't mean that they need to sit back. This story I found so interesting and useful because it didn't tell us what we didn't know, but it really did, in my opinion, elevate things. I think it heightened the risks, and it makes me wonder, if Democrats have an Oregon aligned against them, is there not a strategy that they should be employing?
It's an interesting question. I think it's clear that Democrats don't really know what to do. You have some Democrats like Pete Buttigieg. When he ran for president in 2020, he tried to go on Fox News. He thought that that was a useful effort to try to appeal to voters who might be there, who weren't watching some of the other.
I'm trying to avoid being prescriptive around tactics. That might be totally reasonable. In fact, maybe one of the tactics would be get on there as much as humanly possible. You know, maybe one of the tactics would be we ask to go on every hour on the hour. They don't want us on there. They don't want to hear our views. Maybe that's the tactic.
Well, you know, Gavin Newsom, he seems to be in the Pete Buttigieg camp. He went on and did a debate with Ron DeSantis. But I don't think Democrats really know. I don't think you would see Joe Biden agree to an interview with Fox News. I just don't see that happening. I don't think that Democrats have settled on what works. And, you know, when we talk about TikTok, for instance, and dealing with this propaganda pipeline into the United States that is controlled by the Chinese government, the same thing applies. Politicians don't exactly know what to do with it. And so in that case, it seems a little bit easier to simply ban it because they know that it's causing harm in this country if people are being told things that are not true or if people being rallied around things that are not true. In the case of Fox News, that is happening, but it is clearly a domestic issue and not an international issue. In my view, Fox News is a big problem. I have seen it over the course of running Political Wire, how Fox News distorts so much of our reality. I know that you're a little bit better than I am at this. You try to watch Fox News on occasion. I find it impossible to watch more often than not. I don't really like the other cable news channels. I watch very little cable news. But when you turn on Fox News versus the other networks, you are watching a different reality. There's no doubt about it. Now, is that straight propaganda? I wonder how much of Fox News is propaganda. Is it 70%? There's obviously some hard news thrown in there. There are some reporters who would consider themselves real reporters. But the bulk of the network is clearly trying to push a message. That's clear in their primetime hours. And as you know well, editorial judgment shows your own bias as well. And what they choose to show you is what they choose to show you. You're not going to read an awful lot of negative things about conservatives on Fox News.
I think you hit it on the head. I don't think Democrats have a plan. And let's be clear. What Fox News does, propaganda of that nature, opinion, judgment, points of view, whatever you want to call it, that's not illegal. That's within their rights for sure. But I think it's silly not to have a more active strategy if your ox is the one getting gored. And I think that Democrats have played around with it. I actually happen to think that the Gavin Newsom, Pete Buttigieg approach, I think it's smart. I think Democrats should get out there a lot more. But I think that if Fox News is acting as this evidence from the study that we just talked about, this article, the research, the polling, if it is acting as an active effort against your party, I would think that you need a coordinated, intelligent, organized, regularized strategy and tactics to fight that. I don't think that you can brush it off.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, Chris.
So let's move on to one of the other topics of the day. Tegan, could the House flip?
The House could flip. That's what's so interesting is because of a couple of early retirements, two members of Congress, both Republicans, decided to leave early. One left last week, Ken Buck from Colorado, and Mike Gallagher is going to leave a little bit later this month. And what was so interesting about Mike Gallagher in setting his departure date was it's one day after the deadline, which would force a special election to fill his seat. So he's leaving with the clear intention at hurting the Republican Party and depriving Republicans of filling his seat with another Republican, which I think is kind of amazing. But it's indicative of the problems that we're seeing in the Republican Party. Fox News reported this week that several other Republicans are also considering leaving in the middle of their term. Well, Chris, I used to sit next to you in math class in graduate school, and so I might need to explain this to you because you weren't so good at the maths. But when you have only a one-seat margin, it doesn't take more than a couple of retirements, unexpected retirements, to all of a sudden flip the House and make Hakeem Jeffries speaker.
No, it doesn't take many. And being the math major that apparently you view yourself as, you probably could come up with the exact number of how few it would take. You wrote that control of the House of Representatives has actually never changed in the middle of a Congress, which is incredible and would be really something for any political junkie to witness should it occur. If it were to occur, what then? what happens? You then have the two parts of Congress and then the executive branch would all be under Democratic control, at least for a small window. What would happen if Hakeem Jeffries ends up as Speaker of the House with, let's just say, a one-vote majority?
Well, I don't know this to be the case, but I would hope that this is the case for the Democratic Party, that they're coming up with plans, they're coming up with a list of bills that they could push one after the other through the House of Representatives, perhaps only clearing that one-vote margin, if that's what it is, but utilizing their majority, however short, to pass a bunch of legislation that could then move to the Senate and be passed by the Democratic Senate as well, and ultimately signed by President Biden. That would be such an amazing thing to happen in election year where, you know, we always talk about messaging bills that come up in Congress that are simply intended to show where you stand on this or on that. Can you imagine Democrats showing voters, here's what we would do if we have control? Because, wow, look at this, we have control. One bill after the next in an election year signed into law by Joe Biden. And by the way, where is the Republican nominee when this is happening? He's in a courtroom in Manhattan facing a criminal trial. It would be such an amazing split screen where the Democrats are actually passing legislation to improve the fortunes of the country, and the Republican nominee is on trial for 32 criminal counts.
And passing legislation would create such a vision of exactly what has not been able to occur with Republicans in charge of the House. I mean, they have not been able to pass legislation. Hardly a better example than the immigration bill that had been created and would have been on its way to passing, if not but for Trump and then other folks saying, you know what, no, let's not do it. Let's not solve this problem now. Let's not deprive ourselves of the election issue. So anyhow, it has never happened before, according to Political Wire. Congress has never flipped, or certainly the House has never flipped during a session. But we live in times where the things that have never happened before seem to happen once a week. So we might get there. Tegan, I feel we have time for one mailbag. There's a civics teacher from a Massachusetts high school, John D., and he has been super kind and has sent us a couple of notes over the last months. But the most recent one that we got from him is particularly timely. John D. writes, if RFK Jr. seems to appeal more to likely Trump voters, why would Biden be building a machine to take him down? Or is the machine more likely to pretend to take him down by emphasizing how conservative he is to inflate his votes on the right, a la Schiff, regarding Steve Garvey? This was, of course, the Senate campaign in California. And what is behind Trump's reversal recently, calling Kennedy an environmental whack job, and now when he is doing a great service by hurting Biden? Does he think he can wish that into being by saying it, or do both sides figure that the Kennedy name will carry more weight than any policy positions, and thus he will hurt Democrats more? In November, do you think he will be closer to 5 or 10% RFK Jr., and will this depend on whether or not he takes the Libertarian nomination? Tegan, what are your views on RFK Jr., who recently named his vice presidential pick, which was neither you nor Aaron Rodgers?
The Biden campaign and the Trump campaign are a little confused as to what the impact of Kennedy will be on this race. Obviously, the Kennedy name is a famous one, particularly in politics. Putting a Kennedy on the ballot could attract voters who don't necessarily know any better and vote for Kennedy because they don't like the other two. So will his support be closer to 5 or 10%? I could see it closer to 10%. We had a poll this week, Quinnipiac, which had Robert Kennedy's support at 13%. And when the independent candidates were included, a small Biden lead turned into a very small Trump lead in the poll because Kennedy, Jill Stein, and Cornel West were drawing support more from Biden than for Trump in that poll. But I don't think it's clear. And I think that Donald Trump's comments this week suggest he's not so sure either. And he wouldn't be attacking Robert Kennedy if he didn't think Kennedy couldn't hurt him. One of the reasons why is that it seems that Kennedy, particularly with his pick of Nicole Shanahan as his running mate, seems that Kennedy is pursuing a strategy of going after low information, low propensity voters. And if so, that's really Trump's wheelhouse. Those are the people that Trump pulls out to the polls. If Trump is going to win this race, it's going to be because he's going to bring more people to the polls, which when added to his base support, will bring him over the top. if Kennedy's out there going after the same voting population, then that's obviously bad for Trump. But at the same time, Trump will flip-flop, as John said in his question. They'll flip-flop, and before you know it, you end up having a situation where he's somehow saying that he might be an environmental whack job, but he's the most liberal guy to ever run for president, as if somehow saying so makes it true, and that Democrats will somehow overlook Joe Biden on the ballot and vote for Kennedy. But I think right now, at this early point, it's not clear who he would draw more support from. And that's really, quite frankly, what makes him so dangerous right now. So I think that's why the Biden campaign is ready. The Biden campaign knows how to run against Trump. I don't think they want the wild card of Robert Kennedy in this race. I think they'll try to do everything they can to drive his support down as low as they can.
Circling back to our conversation from earlier, if you were a Democratic strategist, would you be more worried about RFK Jr. or Fox News?
I would be more worried about RFK Jr. right now if I were the Biden campaign. And that's because Fox News is a known quantity. We know how Fox News is going to play this election. We know Fox News's pull with Republican voters. What we don't know is Robert Kennedy's appeal to voters today. We don't know exactly who he's going to draw more from. I would guess he would draw slightly more from Donald Trump, but the Kennedy name is a Democratic name, and not everyone really knows that his own family has essentially disowned his candidacy. He may have the Kennedy name. Other Kennedys don't really support him.
John D., thank you for the question. Keep the questions coming. Keep teaching those high school students. And Tegan, keep on packing those boxes.
I got to get packing, Chris. Talk to you next week, hopefully from a new office.
Talk to you next week.
Bye, Chris.